Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you once again this last week. Oh my gosh, this first week of May. It is May 1st, which is just a little bit crazy. I almost said the last week of April, but it's actually May 1st. So what do I know about time? I'm excited to be with you on this Tuesday with an interview, another interview from the Tawny Mountain Mysteries, actually. If you joined me a couple weeks ago for two interviews, one with Marla J. Hayes and the other with R.J. Rossetti, you will recall, or if you didn't join me, I'll just let you know that the Tawny Mountain Mysteries are a series of seven novellas written by seven different authors. They have different, along with the different authors, they have different characters. The only similar thing is the location, which is the Tawny Mountain Resort. It's a fictional resort in New Jersey. So the creator of that fictional resort, Karen M. Bryson, is an author and has short on time books. And so she invited six other authors to participate in this writing of a collection of books at the Tawny Mountain of Mysteries at the Tawny Mountain Resort. So I spoke with Marla and Randy, R.J. Rossetti, a couple weeks ago. And now today I'm speaking with author Lori Fagan about her contribution to the Tawny Mountain Mysteries, but also, unlike Marla and RJ, who created characters who they're now writing series about, the characters appeared in the Tawny Mountain Mysteries. Lori actually had an existing character and an existing mystery series, the Behind the Mic series. The protagonist in that series is Lisa Powers, and she was already created. There was a novella, a prequel, and then two novels, and now this novella for the Tawny Mountain Mysteries. So we start off talking about her Behind the Mic series, specifically the first book in that series, Fade Out. And let me give you the description of Fade Out. Young radio reporter Lisa Powers has a lot to learn, but in her zeal to cover the big city crime beat, finds herself facing down criminals in addition to reporting on them. From the dark streets of the Metro Phoenix area to the peaceful red rocks of Sedona, Lisa dodges bullets investigating the cold case of a kidnapped bank executive found murdered, and discovers horrors she never imagined while tracking down a missing father. She's first on the scene of a massive fire that destroys the opulent mansion of a reclusive pharmaceutical heir, but her career is jeopardized when the story gets way too hot. Come along for a fast-paced ride in Lori Fagan's debut crime fiction novel. So Lisa Powers, as I said, is the character in this Behind the Mic series, and it's about a young radio reporter, as the description says. What I found really fascinating about this series, this book in particular, but the series as a whole, is that there's the story of Lisa, and she is a workaholic. She loves her job, and she loves getting out there and finding the story and finding the answers. And so she is reporting on the house fire that they talked about that was talked about in the description of the pharmaceutical heir. That's the big story that she's reporting on. But she also helps the Chandler Police Department with some cold cases. They are understaffed, and so she helps them with cold cases. So there's also that mystery that's happening that she is investigating while she's also reporting on this house fire. But That's not enough. Lori has a third mystery within these mysteries, and that is the podcast that Lisa does in her spare time. She writes and records these podcasts that are serial podcasts about and involve a mystery of some sort. So there's really three mysteries in this story, and this isn't a novella. It's a little longer than a novella, a little over 200 pages. So not quite a novella, but not a hugely long book either. And Lori just manages to pack so much into this story. It's a very fast read. It's a lot of fun, and it flies because you really are reading three different mysteries that kind of intertwine and work around and together. And Lisa gets herself into all kinds of interesting situations within this story. So it's a lot of fun, and Lisa is an interesting character to get to know. It'll be interesting to see where she goes throughout the series, and if she branches out and finds some hobbies that don't necessarily involve crime. So that is my brief description of the Behind the Mic series and Fade Out in particular. I will give you a description of the Tawny Mountain Mysteries a little later in the podcast. Before we get to that interview, though, I do want to remind you that this is another giveaway opportunity. I will have instructions for how to enter the giveaway at the end of the podcast, so make sure you stay tuned and listen to those. An exciting opportunity for the giveaway this week is that Lori has graciously offered not only a print copy to win, but also one of her audiobooks is a possibility to win, and she'll talk more about the audiobooks in the interview, and it sounds like they sound like a lot of fun, as well as an e-copy of one of her books. So you've got the chance to win, but the chance to win a couple of different options. So again, stay tuned at the end of this interview, and I'll let you know how you can go about entering into those giveaway contests. Let's go ahead and turn to my interview with author Lori Fagan about her Behind the Mic series. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's wonderful to have you here. And we are here to talk about some of your novels, some of your mysteries. But before we do that, I would love for my listeners to get to know you a little bit. So if you could just share a little bit about yourself, that would be great.
Sure. I am a longtime journalist. That was mostly my career. I started off in radio, went to commercial television, worked in cable television, worked in video production, then wrote, started my own business as a full-time writer doing everything anybody would pay me to write, magazine articles, newspaper articles. I wrote a Fiesta Bowl parade script once,
Wow. You
know, just a wide variety of things as a freelancer. And so I did that for a number of years and enjoyed it a lot. And then my late husband and I had the opportunity to purchase a community newspaper. So I went full circle. It came to print as owning and publishing this newspaper, which we did for about 13 years. And then I was kind of semi-retired, I guess, after that, although I still do art and I'm a singer and doing my crime fiction writing now and also doing some film shorts this year just because I wanted to do that. So I'm just living a great life and having a wonderful time. And the writing has really been something that has been so much fun for me. I wasn't sure that would be the case, but it really is truly fun to do the crime fiction writing. So that's been kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah, great. So what you're saying is that you're really kind of bad at retirement. Or you're really good at it, either way.
That's very true. Well, whatever, yeah, that's true. Probably very bad because, no, I don't, not a lot of moss grows under my feet anyway. I'm generally always on the go, and people always say, do you ever sleep? And I say, well, not a lot, you know, 5-6 hours and I'm good to go. And then I'm up and at them again. So, and I keep busy pretty much every day with all the little variety of things. Short attention span is probably the other thing that I say, because I just like to do a lot of different things. So, you know, I jump around a little bit, but that's fun too.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about the first book in your series. It's called Fade Out.
Correct. And all the titles actually are radio terminology, technically, but hopefully with a little more sinister flair to them. So Fade Out was one that I had started, about 7 years ago now, and I'd worked on it on and off for a couple of years because I was, you know, working a full-time job at the time with our newspaper. And but then my husband got sick, got cancer, and I had to just put it away. So when he passed away a couple of years after that, I thought, okay, let me dig this out again and see what I've got. And I was able to really just dive into it. So I went back to my very first job in journalism, which was in radio. And I started off doing traffic reports for a big news radio station here in Phoenix. And then after that was while I was going to college at Arizona State University. And after I graduated, then they put me on full time as an assistant producer for one of the talk shows. And so I based my character on a young radio reporter who covers the crime beat for her Chandler, Arizona radio station, which is also where I live. And she helps the police solve cold cases because they're short-staffed and she's interested in it. So there's always kind of a mystery within a mystery or a couple of mysteries going at any one time to solve the cold case. And then for fun, because she's in this gritty crime world all day long, she loves it, but you know, it takes its toll too. She writes murder mystery podcasts at night. Now, a long time ago, there used to be these mystery radio theater that would, The Shadow Knows and Johnny Dollar and all these great shows that would have voices and sound effects and spooky music and all this stuff. So I kind of patterned them after that. But, of course, we're in the, you know, late 2000s now, so I make them a little more current as being a podcast similar to your show. So she writes them and produces them with a friend of hers, a character in the book, who does some of the voices too. In real life, however, for my audio book, I actually took a variety of actors into a studio and we recorded their voices just for the podcast portion. And we did some live sound effects, and then we would do some other sound effects afterwards, and I've got original music in there. So for the audiobook, you'll hear a few different voices other than my own narrating for just the podcast portions that are just spread out throughout the book. So that was great fun to do, and it's one of those, you know, Foley effects in the movies, all those sound effects that they do for movies. I've always been fascinated with that, so this is a good way to play with some of that as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. So do you have audiobooks for each of the novels that are out yet now?
Yes, I have two. I have two novels out and two audiobooks for each one of them. The second book called Dead Air, again, another radio term, when there is no sound, that means dead air.
Right.
So that book, I created a character named L.N. Payne, P.I., private investigator. So it's kind of a 1940s film noir. You've heard about the story about the private eye and the dame. Well, my private eye is the dame, and a gent comes to her office needing help. So it's got a lot of slang from the 1940s. I just did a video book trailer using a local actor here in town as my L.N. Payne private investigator. And so we shot a little two-minute video trailer for that. And it was just great. She is just a great, fun character to write. So she, in this particular one, she's got somebody is trying to kill this guy who comes for help. And so she has to try to figure out who's trying to kill him and why. And then I've also used L.N. Payne in another, the multi-author series, the Tawny Mountain Mysteries as well. And I have a feeling one of these days, L.N. Payne P.I. may get her own book because she's just a fun, kind of gritty, crazy, stubborn character all her own, and has just been really a lot of fun to write.
Right. So I'm noticing as I go through the books that the main character's initials are LP, the characters she creates, their initials are LP. Is there a story behind that?
Yes. Well, so Lisa Powers has been kind of a pseudonym that I've used on and off. I've written murder mystery plays that I would have performed at corporate functions here in town years ago. And so Lisa Powers was just always a character name that I used. So I thought, okay, I'll use her in this as well. And then when she creates her podcast, I thought, okay, we'll just do a kind of a take on that Lauren Price, you know, is her alter ego, if you will, for that. And then, if you look at the call letters, for instance, KWLS, mm-hmm. so my initials are LS, Lori Fagan. So I had to throw that in. And there's another KGH. Well, I can't remember the call number. There's another radio station referred to this for Jeff Hancock, who is my late husband. So there's a lot of little things in there that my friends pick up on. And I was born and raised in Iowa, too. So I made Lisa be from Iowa, and she came to Arizona State, which is very similar to what I did, too. And so I have a lot of Iowa references in there as well. So my Iowa friends get a kick out of that also.
Right. And I'm going to jump in here so that we can take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about Lisa as the main character and then turning to look at Lori's contribution to the Tawny Mountain Mystery Series. And that book is called Deadly Misfire. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with Lori Fagan, author of the Behind the Mic series. We've been talking about the first novel in that series called Fade Out. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking about her contribution to the Tawny Mountain Mysteries, a novella called Deadly Misfire. Since we will be talking about that in this segment, I do want to go ahead and give you the description of that. And that is as follows. KWLF-FM crime reporter Lisa Powers' boss sends her to a radio news conference in New Jersey, in the dead of winter, and far away from her beloved crime beat in Arizona. She goes to the Tawny Mountain Resort begrudgingly, afraid she's going to miss a big story. But at the convention, where she is up for an Excellence in Reporting Award, an unknown stalker torments her for several days. When she takes the stage to learn the winner, the stalker antes up the stakes, with deadly force. Deadly Misfire is a part of the Tawny Mountain Mystery Series, a collection of 7 brand new mysteries from 7 award-winning and best-selling authors, taking place at the same final destination, the Tawny Mountain Resort. So, as I said, we will be talking about Deadly Misfire as part of this segment of the podcast. Before we get to that, though, we are going to talk a little bit more about Lisa as a main character. And so let's go ahead and turn back to my interview with Lori Fagan about her Behind the Mic series. So talk a little bit more about Lisa as the main character. What about her do you think will resonate with readers?
Well, I think because she's young and a little impetuous, she's driven, a little stubborn sometimes, but I think she, you know, embodies a lot of young women, I think, today who are, you know, just love their job and want to do well in their job, but she's young, so she makes a few mistakes, and she doesn't, you know, think sometimes before she does some things. And I think we can all relate, you know, to those issues as well. So I have some, I think, decent character arcs for her to grow and learn from as she goes through her day with her news radio boss, the news director, with an old buddy who is kind of her mentor. And like I say, she has a few challenges along the way. And now this is one of the the things that never happened to me. You know, I was never held up by gun or knife point or anything like that. But, of course, in fiction, you got to get them into trouble and chase them up that tree and throw rocks at them and all those things. So I have to come up with ways to get her into trouble. And then she has to get out of the trouble, too, of course. But I do think that that's something that a lot of people, you know, really can see her as a real character, as a real person. And, you know, is it a little autobiographical? Oh, yeah, probably. You know, they also say write what you know. And that was another reason why I took that. Now, there are a number of television news reporters who are amateur sleuths in fiction, crime fiction. Not so many radio. There are a couple of them out there, but that was kind of another reason I thought, let me do radio just because there's not as many of those sleuths. And it is something that I know. It's something that I lived with for a number of years, and so I felt like that would be something that I could bring some authenticity to it. And that's something else that a lot of people tend to like is the behind the scenes of a radio station, a radio reporter, how the news gets on the air, how the stories are written, those types of things too. So I bring a lot of that in. And then I set it in Chandler in a real location. And there are a lot of people who, again, live in this area who, oh, I know that intersection, and oh, I know that place. And so that makes it more real, I think, to them too. So that's been a lot of fun to write. And like I said, some of my characters I also base on either other people, reporters I've worked with, news directors I've worked with. Some of them are kind of a compilation of a few people too, but it is something that I think we all tend to write, you know, from our own brains a lot of times, whether you want to admit it or not. But that, again, is what makes the fiction seem more real. If you're just creating something out of the blue, you got to work pretty hard to make sure that is an actual feels like a real character and not just somebody, you know, made up like that. Mm-hmm. So I think Lisa is somebody who a lot of people can relate to, you know, certainly young or old. And I've actually had a lot of people say that their high school children have read the books and enjoy them. It's not terribly graphic. There's not a lot of blood. There's not a lot of cuss words, any of that either. And I just don't feel it's really necessary. So I think it does hit a wide audience as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about, you know, writing what you know, and that there's a lot of autobiographical elements in the story. Did you do research for the book as well?
Oh yeah, there's quite a lot of research. I've in the first book in Fade Out, one of the main crime stories is a big McMansion, if you will, house of a socialite that blows up and is burning. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the socialite woman who owns the house was inside and she dies in the fire. So I had to do a lot of research on what happens to a body after a fire. And a lot of it is internet research. And then, you know, I also have a couple of police officer buddies of mine here in town who I can ask for police procedural kind of information. I have also been to a couple of writers' police academies that are great fun because we take over an actual police academy, only it's writers instead of police recruits. Hmm. And the instructors talk to writers, and we ask very different questions than mostly the police recruits. But everything from forensics to ballistics to drug identification to the shoot, don't shoot scenarios, just all kinds of great information that we can then use in our books, because then we've got, you know, firsthand information on what a Glock feels like in your hand. What does it feel like to shoot an AR-15 assault rifle? Because we have actually been able to do that. I'm currently taking a class with our city of Chandler, and most cities have these classes called a citizen police academy. Mm-hmm. And it's a 13-week program, one night every week, 6 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday. And different departments from the police department come talk to us. We've had the canine group come in. We talked about sex crimes. We've talked about homicides, about drug deals and drug crimes. We just toured the SWAT facility the other day. So just a lot of great information. And most of these people are just citizens. They're just interested to know how the police department works. I, on the other hand, am using it for other methods because it's just great fodder for getting some really inside scoop and the language they use and that type of thing for my fiction. So that's been amazing hands-on research, if you will.
Right. Now, in the book, in Fade Out, there seems to be references to something that happened to Lisa before a cold case that she helped to solve. Is that what the prequel is about, or is the prequel a different story?
Yes. No, the prequel is, basically, I wanted to see, number one, if these three elements would fit together in a story, a crime case, a cold case, and the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see how that would actually work together. So I wrote this little novella called Equalizer, but it's only like, I think it's like 18,000 words. So it's really a short story, to be honest. But it was one that I felt, okay, I think these three stories will hold together. I can make them flow from one to the next. And that, so I just kind of put that aside, and then I wrote Fade Out. Well, then when my publisher found out that I had this little novella, she says, well, we'll call it a prequel novella. So we put it on the internet, and it's only in ebook format. It's not in print, but it is available in ebook. So that really is book one, if you will, but it's the very first story. And then Fade Out is a full length, and Dead Air is a full length. And then I'm, just continuing from there. But it was just, like I say, it was frankly just kind of a test to see if I could make it flow properly and would it make sense to go from this to this to this. And, I had enough people read it to say, it makes it very interesting. So it also becomes kind of a mystery within a mystery within a mystery. So there's all kinds of things going on at any one time.
Right. Do you have an idea for how many books that you would like in this series? Or are you just going to write as long as it feels right?
Well, and that's a good question. When you posed that, it got me thinking. I had always thought, maybe 3 to 4. And so I'm working on book 3 at the moment. But now I can already see that there's got to be at least a number 4 and then possibly 5 then. But most likely, at the moment anyway, probably at least 4. And I think I may have Lisa move from radio to television. Oh. And so if she does that, then that could kind of be probably still a continuation of the same series, essentially. Maybe a different station then, but it would still be her. So in that sense, if that does happen in like book 4 or 5, then it could go on for a few more too. So it's kind of hard to tell at the moment. You never really know until you get the one done and you start thinking about the next one.
Right. The characters tend to do things on their own sometimes.
That is very true. It's funny how they do that, And your listeners have probably also heard about the outliners and the pantsers. So the outliners are the ones who outline their stories pretty heavily and they know exactly what's going to happen from beginning to end. And then the pantsers are those who write by the seat of their pants. They don't have an outline. They just write and they just go. And well, I'm more of an outliner and I do like to know where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be writing tomorrow, what's going to happen. But with enough flexibility, because just what you said, my characters will sometimes say, oh no, we want to go off here and do this. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. That's not in the outline. And they say, we don't care. We want to do it this way. And so I'm like, okay, let's see where this goes. And sure enough, half the time, they have some really good ideas. So I like to have that flexibility to be able to go with that when it happens. And that is also part of the fun of writing. If you're too strict and too staid, then it becomes more of a formula, and you're not just having the fun. So that is something that it is interesting how those characters do have a good mind of their own half the time.
Right. So you've got the prequel and then 2 novels and then the novella for the Tawny Mountain Mysteries. So in that, Lisa goes to the Tawny Mountain Resort, which is in New Jersey. Can you talk a little bit about that story?
That was very interesting to do, too. So obviously my books have all been set right here in Chandler. So I had to figure out a way how to get Lisa from Chandler to New Jersey, of all things. And then I placed it in January. So again, she moved from Iowa to Arizona mostly because it was just too darn cold in Iowa.
Right. She's and very so annoyed having opening, to go back to winter.
Exactly. One of the opening lines is New Jersey in January. Yep. And she's like, oh, you're kidding me, you know. So and I've got it snowy and cold and wind whipping around and all that stuff there. So also because she is such a workaholic, she does not want to ever take vacation time because she's afraid she's going to miss the big story. So her boss basically forces her to go to a news radio convention. So it's a conference in New Jersey. He and his secretary have made all the arrangements. They're going to get her out, make her take some vacation time as well as, you know, they're sending her, they've put her, some of her writing in the awards competition, the writing competition. And then it turns out that before she leaves, she finds out she's a finalist for one of the awards too. So that is how I get her to New Jersey. And then as she's there, she starts finding that a stalker is, first it's just kind of innocent things down the hallway, cutting her do not disturb sign in two. And then it starts to escalate a little bit more. And it gets a lot more serious by the end of the book. So that was, again, you know, I've been to many different conferences and conventions in my time. So I was able to incorporate some of those you know, types of sessions in there, too. And then meeting other people from around the country, as you often do in something like that. But placing it in this one location. And as you mentioned, too, our publisher came up with a Bible. It's a fictional place, but she created this entire world for not only the Tawny Mountain Resort and what the rooms look like. She had photos of the lobby, of the rooms, and these are just things that she pulled together. And then, but then there's an old town. That's the name of the old town is the name of the town that's nearby. And the police officer there, all the people who run the resort, she's got names, and she even put photos of, like, actors so that we could describe the same character. So we've got seven different authors with their own series characters, all putting their characters in this one location. And we all, I use the Bible very heavily. I kept it open on my computer almost all the time so I could go over and say, okay, now what does the lounge look like just off of the lobby? Because I want Lisa to go there and meet a couple of people for a drink, you know, before the evening's events or whatever. And so that was just great to be able to zoom in and get little details to describe what she would have been seeing there too. So it was a really interesting way to do it. And I've read, let's see, I've read two or three of the other seven, the other six, I should say, stories. And it's just really fun to be able to, and the other books are different times of year. One is in the spring, one is in the summer. So they're all different times of year, but they're all the same location. So that is just, it's kind of very interesting concept. So they're all bundled together too on Amazon. So you can buy them individually or you can buy them all together. They're all novellas, so they're all fairly quick reads. And I mean, you know, to get seven stories, I think it's under $20, 18 and some change. That's a great way to read a bunch of, you know, stories like this, crime fiction stories, in a fairly, you know, without taking years and years to read them too. So that was a very, very fun thing to do. I really enjoyed that whole process.
So I'm going to jump in here again so we can take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking more about what it is like to write in this collaborative way, how the authors got their information, how they knew what the resort looked like, what some of the common characters looked like, etc. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage.
From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with Lori Fagan about all kinds of things, about her Behind the Mic series, about the Tawny Mountain Mystery series. We're going to talk a little bit more about that now, and then we'll talk some more about writing in general and where you can find her on the internet, etc. So let's get back to that interview. We've had Marla J. Hayes and R.J. Rossetti on the podcast. They're two of the other authors, and they both spoke about the Bible as well. Randy said that when you create a character, actually they both said when you create a character or something at the resort, then it would go into the Bible so that everyone else would know, you know, there's this, there's a doctor in town and this is his name or whatever it is. How often did Karen update the Bible? Because it would seem like you'd need that information.
Well, because so for instance, one of the writers had said, you know, is there like a penthouse, a suite or like a bridal suite? And she go, well, Noble will make one. So she would create one and put that together. And then somebody would say, well, you know, is there a newspaper there? And I think there actually was a little newspaper, but we were able to beef that up. And then somebody would say, it would really help me if I had XYZ. And so she'd jump in there and create it. So we all had it. She had a sketch of the town and where all the little buildings were in the town. So again, you'll go down the street and everybody would know exactly where it was. So really, you know, very clever to do it that way, I think. And then to all of us to have that to rely on was so helpful, you know, to be able to actually physically see the, again, the rooms, the lobby, what the beams look like, what the big fireplaces look like. And then again, what these characters looked like, who either run the resort or live in the town and that type of thing. So it just hit, in fact, earlier this month. And so it's hope it's going to go well. And apparently these multi-author series is kind of a new thing that a lot of people enjoy. And then they, you know, it's a good way to meet other writers and see other people's work, you know, that you might not see that otherwise.
Right.
Might not meet them otherwise.
Right. Yeah. It's a fascinating process. Yeah. Just to see, especially mm-hmm. you're all writing from the same source material, but
right.
You know, and I've only read the three of you, but just the way you kind of make it your own and fit it in with your writing style, it's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's interesting coming from your standpoint. So did the place seem like it was the same place with the three of us writing it?
The place, yeah, absolutely.
From your standpoint?
The only thing that was weird was one character, Mr. Wilson, seemed just slightly different between Marla and Randy, but not like anything that
interesting.
Anything that made me go, wait a minute.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Just, interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah, so very, very fun, very different to do. And I noticed that, for instance, the manager, general manager or something, Penny LePage or LePage or something, was someone who was a smoker.
Yes.
And so it was funny how we would all make reference to the scent of smoke when she'd be walking down the hallway
right.
or something. So that was those little tiny details. Those were fun to read, fun
yeah.
to find those too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've written your entire career. So is that something that you grew up wanting
yeah.
to do?
I did spend a lot of time, I had a great eighth grade English teacher, And she just really inspired a lot of writing. So I found little stories that I wrote even in sixth grade and things like that. And but really, in honesty, I thought I was going to be an actor. So I went to the theater for a couple of years, realized I didn't want to starve for that long. So, dropped out of college for a couple of years, traveled, went to Los Angeles, lived there for a couple of years, and just talked to friends and looked around and just saw what else was out there. And kind of thought, well, this radio television thing might be something I think I'd be interested in doing. So that's when I came back to here to Arizona State University, finished up my degree here in mass communications, radio and television. And then really realized that how much I do enjoy writing. Now, writing for radio is only writing for the ear. And that's very different than writing for print or writing for video. And so that was a great, great training for me in writing, for sure. And then I moved into television, and then, like I said, some different areas. And I just discovered that I really do enjoy, writing of almost any kind. And like I said, I've done a lot. I've written screenplays and just all different types of things that it's just one of those things that I guess it's a storytelling. And I've had a lot of people say that I'm a good storyteller. And that's certainly part of it. Little film shorts I'm doing, they're only, 2 to 3 minute long pieces. And people say, well, how can you get a whole story into that? And I said, well, it still has a beginning, middle, and an end. And you have to tell the whole story. You just don't have as much time. So I do enjoy, doing that. When I worked for television news, our reporter packages were about a minute and a half to 2 minutes long. So you had to tell everything in a pretty succinct amount of time. That was one of my challenges early on with Fade Out, is that I was barely coming up to 50,000 words for this book. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's too short. Most traditional publishers want 65,000, 75,000 plus. Well, my publisher, Short on Time Books, as the name says, she says, a lot of people don't want to spend so much time reading these long books. They want to get in, read a story, and move on to the next one. So she says 50,000 words is fine. So that's where, and because I have tended to always write pretty tight as a reporter, you have to get all the extraneous stuff in, write tight, get the story told in a short amount of time. And so that's where my books are not real flowery. They don't go on and on with a lot of descriptions about things. I did certainly have to go in and beef up some of the areas, but I think overall it moves quickly. It people say it actually kind of reads like a film because you see the visuals, in there as well. But it's tight and it moves fast and you just go through the story. So that was one thing that was, kind of interesting for me, to be able to, write that kind of length then, even 50,000 words, which is a lot of words when you get down to it. And then I think Dead Air was more like 60-something. And so I've been anywhere between the 50, 65, 1,000 words now. But it's just a very interesting process to see. And you go along and you think, oh, I've got this huge chapter and oh my gosh, it's 2,500 words. Okay, I may need to break that down a little bit into two chapters maybe sometimes. So, but it kind of just depends, depends on where you're going and what your the total length is going to be. But so it's been a lot of fun to learn, obviously, too. I mean, this is the first time I've written fiction other than some screenplays, and it is very freeing. I thought, well, I could only just write facts. I could never write, fiction because I wouldn't know what to write. And now Katrina McPherson is a great author that I've read before and see her at conventions. And she says, we all graduated from MSU, make stuff up. And I love that because we do. We just get to make stuff up. Now, do I rip things from the headlines? Yes. I have taken stories, in fact, the main crime story from my second book, Dead Air, is based on an actual crime case I covered during my television news days. And it was of a guy who shot a couple of police officers and then fled into the Iowa cornfields for a week before they caught him. Well, Chandler, Arizona has cornfields here, too. We still have a lot of rural areas here. So I basically transported the story from Iowa to Chandler, to Arizona, and fictionalized it then, of course, a lot. There's a little hostage scene in there that was totally fictionalized, but I was able to basically take the essence of that story and then expand on it. And then book four that I'm working on, which is going to be called Bleeder, will have the trial of the guy, the cop shooter. And so the trial in real life was moved from Waterloo, Iowa, across the state to Council Bluffs, Iowa, on a change of venue, as often happens with heavy publicized stories like that. So in my book Bleeder, then, I will take the trial, and I'm going to move it up to Prescott, where I spent a lot of time because my parents live there, and I have a little condo up there. So I'll be able to give some of the flavor of another city in Arizona, and that's kind of important to me too. I want people to know about real places in Arizona in case they ever want to come visit here, you know, as well. So like I say, that will be part of book four with the trial of that same story. So I do take things from the headlines and then twist them around and, you know, give them my own spin, you know, if you will. But that's been another interesting, you know, portion of and not, I'm certainly not the only one who does this. I was just at Left Coast Crime, which is a great conference that happens every year somewhere on the left coast or west coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. And we were just in Reno, and I was actually on a panel that was called Ripping from the Headlines, Ripping Plot Lines from the Headlines, I believe is what it was called. So there were three other journalists and myself talking about, you know, how we come up with our stories, how we take an actual story, twist it around. You know, most books in the front will say things like, everything is fiction, you know, anything that's based on anybody real is totally a coincidence. Well, in the front of my books, I say things like, some stories based on real events, because they are, you know, I'm going to, you know, be upfront about that. Not to say that it's the exact same thing, but yeah, there are a number of that's just one way to come up with, you know, with a story or a storyline, because some of these things, oh my gosh, you can't make that up. You know, that really did happen. And that makes it just that much more interesting sometimes.
Right. One more break, and then we will come back with the conclusion of my interview with author Lori Fagan. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the gold standard in music podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion to my interview with author Lori Fagan. Do you have advice for aspiring authors?
Advice? I tell you, just don't talk about it. Just do it. Just, you know, we talk about getting our butts in the chairs. And sometimes that's tough. You have to be disciplined. Writing is kind of an isolated experience. You are basically, it's just you usually at your computer with a blank screen. But again, a lot of people talk about wanting to do it and they just never either carve out the time or they don't have the confidence or whatever it is. And to me, scheduling is a big thing. I do a lot of different things, and I have to, if it's in my calendar, there's a pretty good chance it's going to get done. If it's not on my calendar, it probably won't ever happen. So if I can carve out a time for it in my, you know, in my phone calendar, my computer calendar, my iPad calendar, and they all talk together, so they're always updated. if it gets on there, then I literally, since I've been doing the fiction writing now with the novels, I used to write like a couple of days a week, and now I'm doing Monday through Friday, pretty much 9 to 1, something like that. And I get up, I might have a cup of coffee and read the paper first, my digital paper, and then I go to work and I write. Because, and I try to really protect that time like I would a doctor's appointment. If somebody says, oh, you want to go have coffee? No. Can we do lunch at 1? Or, gee, can you do appointment at 10 o'clock? No, you got anything in the afternoon? So I really try to protect those times. And you have to do that if you want to be consistent, if you want to, you know, be able to have the time to get in there. And novel writing is, you know, takes a while. You know, I'm trying to do a book a year. And that's still fairly ambitious to, you know, to most people who sometimes take 3 to 4 to 5 years to get a book done. And so it does take time. It takes thought. It takes research. It takes, you know, all of that together. So and a lot of people just say, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. Oh, I have this story idea. Well, make a short story out of it then. Try it. Just get something down. Just try, and you never know. Maybe that's all it's going to be is a short story, and that's fine. There's a lot of short story avenues for some for pay, some for exposure, to get your name out there, to get just the practice of writing. And it is something that you have to practice on. You have to do it over and over and over again. And the more you do, like anything, the better you get. And so I really do encourage people, and I've talked to a lot of people who, you know, have the story idea, they want to be a writer, but they just never seem to follow through with it. And you do have to just say, okay, this is the time, this is the day, I'm going to do it, and then make it happen. You have to make it happen. And if you don't, then find something else to do and quit talking about it, because it probably, you know, will happen, I guess, at that point. But it is something that that I think is it's doable for a lot of people. And there's a lot of conferences and workshops and online information. And, oh, my gosh, the information that's out there to teach people how to write and how to be a good writer and some of those things, they're at your fingertips. And they're pretty inexpensive, a lot of free stuff on the internet. So there's really not a lot of excuses anymore, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So just do it, like Nike, you know, just do it.
Right.
Right.
So you write crime fiction, obviously. When you read, is that the genre that you like, or do you have other genres that you prefer? Or
You know, I do tend to read a lot of crime fiction as well. I've always loved Sue Grafton's writing. Craig Johnson is another great writer. Lee Child's, the Jack Reacher series. Now, they're, you know, pretty intense, too, but I enjoy those as well. I frankly have never been too much into paranormal, necessarily, except in one case of a guy named Jim Butcher. And technically, I have never, ever read his books. I only listen to them on audiobook because of his narrator. He has this amazing narrator. James Marsters is his name. He used to be
on Buffy
the Vampire Slayer.
Yep.
Yes, right. So a lot of people know him. He has an amazing voice. He can do all these different character voices. I mean, personally, I have learned so much from James Marsters and his delivery and his pace and his sounding like a male or a female to do all those different voices that you have to when you do your own narration like that. So I love to read, and Jim, like I say, Jim Butcher, the Dresden Files, is a paranormal cop, basically, I guess you'd say that. He helps the cops. And paranormal investigator, I think, is what he describes himself as. And then he helps the Chicago Police Department solve certain cases that they don't know what is going on. So there's that paranormal area, but I just love them because of they're very well written, extremely well written, and believable too, which is, you know, one of those things you have to be careful of in paranormal or other types of mysteries like that. But like I say, James Marsters just makes those books come alive. So I really do like those as well. And then we have a local author here, Betty Webb, who has had a whole series on a private female private investigator, lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, And I have just loved all of her books as well. I read Agatha Christie, you know, as I was a teenager. So, I kind of read the wide gamut. But I do tend to kind of go after the crime or police procedural types of books myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. Yeah. Where can mm-hmm. people find you on the internet? Do you have a website? Do you have social media?
Yes, of course. So my website is Read Lori Fagan. And it's S-A-G-E-N, so readlorifagan.com. And on there I have everything from some excerpts of coming books to some videos that I've done on there. I actually did a video from one of my actors in the studio scenes. So you'll see a piece of that on my website when we were actually recording the podcast portion. And then there's, you know, all the information about my books there. On Facebook, I have a Facebook page called Read Lori Fagan as well. And then I have a personal page too, Lori Fagan. But so that's out there. And I'm on Twitter at Lori Fagan and on Instagram at Fagan Designs. Actually, that one is. I work in polymer clay and metal clay as well, and making jewelry and fun things like that. And because my series is called Behind the Mic Mysteries, I created a little microphone out of polymer clay, pendant, and earrings that I wear to my book signing. So it has just a little tiny, about a 1.5-inch microphone with a couple of red blood drops in polymer clay dripping off of the microphone.
Oh,
too.
Wow.
So can't be fun little things like that.
Yeah.
So I do have an e-letter as well that I send out periodically. It was supposed to be monthly, and it usually is more like quarterly, but I need to kind of beef that up a little bit more. But in there, I will usually have contests about getting your name in my next novel, as well as upcoming events. An excerpt also from current writing. And I'll even, for instance, right now in Arizona, everything is blooming here, like it is in a lot of places for spring. And so my yard is just filled with beautiful flowers. So I even threw in some flowering bushes and plants that I have in my current e-letter. So if you go to readlorifagan.com, you can sign up for the e-letter there as well.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like to say about your writing or your books or really anything that we haven't covered?
Well, we have covered a lot. Thank you very much. You know, I think one thing I do hear from a lot of people that it is a pretty fast read. So it's something that you can get in and out of even in a couple of days. So you don't, you know, you're not, you know, slogging, you know, through it either. And I have had a lot of people say that it's a page turner. So they just want, they can't put it down, you know, kind of thing. We've talked about it before. The behind the scenes thing is something that a lot of people also respond to. They never knew that much about radio and how the inner workings of it happen and how a story actually gets on the air and that type of thing. So that tends to be something that people seem to enjoy, I guess. And then, like I say, in the next book, all the books, and I'm not really so much of a social writer, like taking a social theme necessarily. However, I have noticed that does tend to come out. I mean, in book two, I had a sexual assault of a young girl, and that's kind of, you know, hard to write about and hard to read about for some people. But then. How it affected this woman 15 years later as a young woman when this happened to her as young. And so I wanted to delve into her mind and what was she thinking. She was always looking over her shoulder. She left all the lights on in her place because they didn't catch the guy. See, they didn't catch the rapist. So she mostly stayed home. All the lights were on her. So she just had a lot of issues. When my character then was involved in a hostage situation, she developed some PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And so I did a lot of research on that and talked to some psychologists about how that affects somebody and how you can get out of it and how some people don't come out of it. And so that was just kind of one of those other themes that I took to just investigate a little bit more and to let people know that, yeah, you're not the only one who might have gone through something like this and had some PTSD, and here's how she dealt with it. in the book I'm currently writing, I'm talking about domestic violence, and that's a huge issue in Arizona, but around the country too. It's a huge thing for police. It's one of the toughest calls for police officers to have to go out on, especially when it does involve children as well as perhaps adults who are feuding. And so I've got a couple different, you know, domestic violence cases that I'm going to be looking at. And the cold case is also going to be based on an actual cold case of a domestic violence case here at the city of Chandler. So I just want to shed some light and be able to, you know, look at this from a reporter standpoint anyway, about what, you know, not so much to make a social stand or, you know, take sides or anything, but just to say, here it is. It's out here. Here's what you can do about it. Here's some assistance that is here as well. That's something else too that I dealt with in my first book. Well, both my books too, for instance, and in one of them, I talk about a local nonprofit group called the 100 Club. And the 100 Club is typically all around the country, and it is for fallen public safety officers, police, fire, DPS, anyone who has been killed in the line of duty. The 100 Club typically helps the families with money for college education, whatever their needs are. So yes, could I have just made up the name of a company or a nonprofit to talk about because I was doing a story on a dead police officer? Sure, I could have just made that up, but why? When I can actually maybe give a little shout out and help promote an actual organization that does some wonderful work. So the 100club.org was one, and I put it in my front matter of the book to say it was used with permission, and I did talk to them about, may I use your name? And they were thrilled with it because it just helps them a little bit too. So, you know, there are some of those things that, yeah, if you want to keep it totally fiction, I could have just made it up, but there are some things that I just felt it was important enough and they're a good enough cause that I want other people to know and maybe to go and help them as well to raise some money or something. So, like I say, the social issues is not something I ever thought I would really delve into. On the other side, I'm doing a couple of these film shorts this summer, and two of them are based on the Time's Up and the Me Too sexual harassment issues. So they're just a couple of little stories that I'm going to tell with video and enter them into some film competitions. They will also be on my website and my Facebook and a YouTube. I have a YouTube channel as well. And so I'll post those as well once they get completed over the summer. And so I guess I am looking at some social issues too. Who's fooling whom here, you know? you know, maybe I think we all probably, you know, have that in us that we want to say something whether it's your personal opinion or whatever. So they are also universal issues, obviously. These are things that a lot of people deal with. And so I think it's one of those things that if we can shed a little light on it and let people know that, no, you're not the only one going through this. There are other people. Don't feel so alone. There is a way to get help. If I can help a little bit with that, that's great. That's great, too.
Great. Well, Lori, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your weekend to talk to me. Your series is the Behind the Mic series, and the first of those is Fade Out. You also are part of the Tawny Mountain Mysteries with a novella in there. Thank you for your writing, and thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Sure appreciate all your help and what you do for literature and for books and for this podcast that you do, and look forward to hearing it. I've seen some of the other ones that have been on your website as well. And thank you again for having me today. Thank
you
so
much. You're welcome. Thank you. Once again, I do want to thank my guest, author Lori Fagan, for taking the time to talk to me about her Behind the Mic mystery series and the Tawny Mountain mystery series. It was a lot of fun. She sounds, to me, just from the brief time that I got to talk to her this week, like a really fascinating individual, just someone that I would want to sit down with and find out more about all the things that she's done in her life. She's done a lot, it sounds like. So, maybe not quite as crazy adventurous as her main character, Lisa, but it sounds like she's certainly had her share of interesting careers and just interesting adventures in life. So thank you, Lori, for taking the time to talk with me. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this is another opportunity for a giveaway. And as I mentioned, you have the choice this week between the a hard copy of Fade Out, the first in the Behind the Mic series, or an audiobook, one of the audiobooks that Lori talked about, or an e-copy of one of those books. So all you have to do to enter into the giveaways is to go to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, GSMC Book Review, and comment on the post where I share the link to this episode. So episode 78, interview with Lori Fagan. Just comment and you'll be entered in to win. Actually, the best thing you could probably do in this case is to comment as to which item you would like to win, or if you are okay with winning any of those three. So it sounds like, I mean, I've read the books and they're great. I haven't listened to the audiobooks yet, but I would like to because they sound like a lot of fun. So just go ahead and comment on what you would like to win. Thank you again to Lori. Thank you again to you, my listeners. I love chatting, well, not with you every week, but you know what I mean. I love putting these podcasts out there for you to enjoy, and also having the opportunity to do the giveaways. It's just a lot of fun. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you will join me on Thursday. Only one interview this week. So on Thursday, I will be talking about, well, books, because it's a book review podcast, but not an interview. So join me for that. And then next week, we are back to interviews, and I'm excited about that. So as always, thank you for listening. And as always, get out there and get yourself lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.